minutes after the hour, you're in the right place. And I am so glad to have Susan Lindauer join us again on the program. She was a U.S. intelligence asset. She covered anti-terrorism at the Iraqi embassy in New York from 1996 to the invasion. Independent sources confirm that she gave advance warning about the 9/11 attack. She started talks for the Lockerbie trial with Libyan diplomats. Shortly after requesting to testify before Congress about successful elements of pre-war intelligence, Lindauer became one of the first non-Arab Americans arrested on the Patriot Act. As an Iraqi agent, she was accused of warning her second cousin, White House Chief of Staff Andrew Card, and Secretary of State Colin Powell that war with Iraq would have catastrophic consequences. Well, she was indicted on a secret charge and secret evidence, served 1 year in prison at Carswell Air Force Base without a trial or a hearing. She was later released, but before that, they were going to forcibly drug her to bring her into, sanity. They said that she was mentally deranged. And after 5 years of indictment without a conviction plea, all charges were dropped. She is the author of Extreme Prejudice, The Terrifying Story of the Patriot Act and the Cover-Ups of 9/11 in Iraq. Thank you so much, Susan, for joining us in the Power Hour today.
I'm delighted to be back. I love your show.
Well, thank you.
Joyce, this is a very scary moment in the Middle East, and I welcome the opportunity to try to help your listeners, you know, understand what's happening, because this is an absolute catastrophe for America.
Absolutely. And you know what I want to do is I want to get in and let's talk about the world global foreign policy as we see it, or as you see it. And then I do want to go back. Hopefully we'll have enough time to go back and focus on Extreme Prejudice and some of the things that you experienced, who you were and why you were in the position you were in. But let's talk about this. First of all, Egypt. It is out of control now. Is it by design?
It is gross incompetence. Tragic incompetence by the Obama administration. It's important. Most Americans do not know. The CIA financed and created the Arab Spring. This is a dirty little secret. Everyone wants to think that it was the Arab people who spontaneously rose up against their oppressors and dictators. In fact, they got a help. They got a little push from the National Endowment for Democracy, which is a CIA front. And the CIA thought that they could manipulate social media and bring to power. They would replace the dictators with friends of the United States. I believe you had pointed out that the new Egyptian president had been a faculty member at the University of California system.
Yes, which
yes.
is bizarre, given the fact that you've got this guy who was teaching here. Two of his sons are U.S. citizens, and we're supposed to think that he's a bad guy. I mean, he could not have gotten in the position unless it was chosen for him, is my
opinion. He was vetted. He was absolutely vetted. But Obama was playing a game that is a very dangerous game. He thought that he could bring to power the Islamic fundamentalists, but he would choose, the American side would choose which Islamic fundamentalists were going to be promoted. And of course, that never works, ever. We now see the catastrophic consequences in Syria. Libya is a disaster. Libya used to have the cheapest oil production in the world. It cost $1 to produce one barrel of oil in Libya. It's right off the surface, and you can just cream it out of the ground. And also, there's gold in Libya. Well, now there's so much instability. You know, so Gaddafi had 43 years of stable government, and Hosni Mubarak had 30 plus years of stable government. Now, focusing on Egypt, Yes, Hosni Mubarak was a dictator, and I'm not supporting dictatorship here. Nobody should read these comments and interpret them to say, well, she's defending this dictator. I knew Hosni Mubarak. Hosni Mubarak was a pragmatist. He was secularist. He was enforcing tolerance. However, he was also hyper-corrupt. That's how he stayed in power. He gave anybody who threatened him, he bought them off. He bought them off big time. He bought the big families, with contracts and special rewards, and the elite's children got to go to the good university educations. The elite children got good jobs, but Egypt has a terrible problem with economic stagnation and very large families. And here in America, we would think a large family is 4 to 6 children. In these places, a large family may be 12 children or 13 children. In Libya, the diplomats used to brag that there were families with 19 children. Okay,
wow.
None of these people have any work. There are no jobs. And so you have a very serious problem that has nothing to do with Islam. It is an economic problem of a largely uneducated public. They don't like to admit this, but their children are mostly schooled at the madrasas, which teach Islam. They teach how to read. They do know how to read Arabic. And they know how to read the Quran, but they don't know how to read anything else. And they're not taught to. To be scientists and engineers and mathematicians. They don't have the tools to rebuild their society. And this is considered somewhat racist to say out loud because, we don't want to admit that there's a big chunk of society that's still living in a very deprived state in this modern age. But this is the problem that they have. They have large families. They have the only access that the ordinary people have is to the religious schools, and those people are becoming Salafists. The Salafists are extremely conservative. They are passionately anti-democracy. And this is why, even why Obama made a fatal mistake, because the people he decided he was going to promote through the CIA are, by their definition, against all democratic practices and protections for other viewpoints, because they're trying to force everyone into this purist Islamic society which existed in 1,200 years ago when the Prophet Muhammad was alive. And the Salafists actually believe that any media, any book, any movie, any lifestyle that depicts society beyond what the Prophet Muhammad had, that is forbidden and must be destroyed. So the Salafists go around bombing bookstores. They bomb movie theaters. They assassinate people. And these are the kind of people that we got involved with. And everybody, the CIA was, when you had the National Endowment for Democracy pushing the Arab Spring, and then some members of the CIA, like me, were alarmists saying, what are you doing? Stop, pull back, do you know who you're supporting?
And okay, now, wait, let me just stop you there. Let me stop you. You said some members of the CIA. Are you saying that you were an intelligence asset for the CIA at that time?
Oh, no. I apologize. I'm former CIA asset. But at the same time, a lot of members of the intelligence community who are active, and I would support their position, a lot of people in the past and present, some alumni like myself were deeply concerned about what Obama was doing, and we thought it was very naive. It sounds all, they're not going to sing Kumbaya at the end of the day. These are, like what we've seen in Syria. These are al-Qaeda fighters that have gone into Syria. They are the same people who have been fighting us in Iraq and Afghanistan who are now in Libya and Tunisia.
Okay, now are you saying that al-Qaeda is not al-CIA-da as we believe on this program?
Oh, absolutely they are.
Okay. Then let me go back
indeed.
To...
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Let me go back to the fact that you are an intelligence asset. First of all, define for us what an intelligent asset is, and then how did you know Mubarak? So how do those two connect?
I was involved with Libya, and I was an intelligence asset is an intelligence operative. I am not an analyst. I was the back channel to Iraq and Libya during sanctions in the 90s.
Okay, define back channel. I'm sorry, you're using terms here that the average person is not familiar
with.
That's
all right. Back channel is a diplomatic term. There was no formal ties between Libya or Iraq and the United States, as you know. And there was still some intelligence that we really needed to get to possess and to extract from these governments, and that pertained to terrorism, because even though we had no communications, we still needed to identify terrorist conspiracies, terrorist players, and keep track of these people. And Libya and Iraq possessed some of the best intelligence on these circles in the world. So I was a passionate anti-sanctions activist. And the CIA and the Defense Intelligence Agency approached me and said, you know, you'd be a good person to establish contact with these governments for the purpose of pulling out this intelligence and negotiating the Lockerbie trial with Libya. And it was in the context of the Lockerbie trial with Libya that I dealt a lot with Egypt and Hosni Mubarak's government. And I actually have met Hosni Mubarak, but he was a man who... Oh, I hear the rate. I hear.
Okay. Well, we'll go to the break. We've got a four-minute break. We're going to come back. I would love to know what your job title was with the CIA or with the DIA, whomever you were working for, and more about what was going on in Egypt with Mubarak before this event took place. We'll be back. Susan Lindauer, this is Joyce Riley. Welcome back to Power Hour. You're in the right place today. Susan Lindauer is our guest. She is a CIA, was a CIA analyst. She was involved in numerous events that all have interest to us that we want to learn more about. She also was aware of 9/11 before it occurred. And hopefully we can get to some of those issues. There's so much I'd like to talk to her about. Susan, in talking about what your job was with the, now who were you paid by?
I was
by?
A CIA asset, not
asset,
an analyst.
Okay. All right. Who were you paid
by? An
asset
is an operative, and I was assigned a CIA handler who debriefed me every week, and a defense intelligence handler as well, who also debriefed me every week. Separately.
Okay, so your paycheck, did it
well,
say?
Well, no, here's the dirty part of the whole thing. I was supposed to be paid at the conclusion of the Lockerbie handover, when Libya handed over the two men. However, right at that moment, someone stole the $2.3 trillion off the Pentagon CIA black budgets, and that Donald Rumsfeld reported the day before 9/11. Mm-hmm. And so right at that moment that I was supposed to be paid, I was cheated out of my pay. And this became a catalyst in my life that created a whole new drama. And someday we'll talk about that, but assets are paid upon the success of a project, because our projects are considered so difficult, so impossibly hard, that they do not pay you little bits and pieces ordinarily. Because if they pay you half up front, you typically would get like a couple $1 million for success. And if you give someone $1 million and it's really hard, they leave you. So they don't do that. Unfortunately.
I see. But were you paid by the government?
I had I had a tremendous opportunity. I was the back channel to Iraq and Libya, and my CIA handler would give me little bits and pieces of money, but the big pay was at the was supposed to be at the end, and so that goes into the $2.3 trillion, and that's really a totally different discussion. But
yeah.
In the course of this,
but let me just stop you. But that's what I'm always concerned about, is how these people get paid. Do you get checks? Do you get from the CIA checks?
No.
Do you get
from your
cash?
Handler.
You get cash? How do you get paid?
Cash from your handler.
Okay. All right. That's what I wanted to know. All right.
Yeah, cash from your handler. But you only get the big payoff when you succeed on your projects. And these projects are considered extraordinarily hard. If you're an asset, and that's what I was. It's like more the psychic income, because you are right in the middle of the biggest issues of the day. And so I had the opportunity to cover Iraq at the United Nations. I was an anti-sanctions activist, and I deeply was concerned about the suffering of the Iraqi people. And so I was trying to keep alive any kind of communications between our countries in the hope that there would be a way to solve this problem entirely. And the Iraqi government and the Libyan government were both fully informed of my identity. And they were both amazed that I was willing to do this. And then they saw that I was very sincere about wanting to solve these problems. And I believe that dialogue and diplomacy are the best ways to move past obstacles. So I tried my very best. Now, and I also did the negotiations on resuming the weapons inspections. But tying back to Egypt, during Hosni Mubarak, because when I was doing the Lockerbie negotiations with Libya, I dealt a lot with the Egyptian government. And because Egypt was the next door neighbor of Libya, and Egypt played a role in bringing Gaddafi out of isolation. And one of the reasons that they did that was that Hosni Mubarak made a very astute argument that if Libya was allowed to continue to fester in isolation, Islamic radicals would gravitate to Gaddafi and would try to establish a base inside Libya. And as the, you know, that Gaddafi had this propensity for embracing anyone who, if you're the enemy of my enemy, you become my friend. And so if Gaddafi was the enemy of the whole world and considered the enemy of the Middle East, then he would take in the forces that would eventually spew out, and they would be the radical Islamists, and he would embrace those people, and he would, and then they would destabilize the entire Middle East.
Okay,
so
we got a three-minute break. Hold it right there. We will be back after this three-minute break talking about Egypt with Susan Lindauer, Extreme Prejudice. We'll tell you how to get the book. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Three-minute break. We're talking to Susan Lindauer today. She is author of Extreme Prejudice. She has paid her dues by being imprisoned at Carswell Air Force Base for 1 year. Charges were dropped afterwards. Man, I wish we had time for that story. But today we're using her expertise to talk about what happened in Egypt. And I want to get back to that, because I think what happened in Mubarak's reign as well as in Morsi's reign all are intertwined and all by design. But go ahead from where we were, if you would, please.
Well, I think that right now your audience needs to know that we are heading for a long period of bitter unrest and civil war in Egypt. I think that we're flirting with disaster in Egypt, and it may be too late to pull back. This was a scenario that had been talked about for many years, and it's what happens when you decapitate your intelligence community and you pull out the people who are not telling you what you want to hear, and you're punishing people. Intelligence is always supposed to be about giving an honest, brutal assessment and not playing political games, and not being threatened with punishment if you tell somebody the truth. Because, you know, if I make up a story for you to protect your feelings, that's not going to do you any good. We should have seen this coming. The United States has spent $60 billion in aid during the for Egypt's military. $60 billion for the military. We have now seen, just in the past 24 hours, the United States tried to put in a candidate, a London School of Economics educated attorney who's an investment specialist, strong anti-corruption credentials, and his name is Ziad Baha. And Mohamed El-Baradei as deputy prime minister. Both of those candidates were rejected. This is very serious because we thought we had a solution, and a solution to Morsi, and the second most powerful Islamic party said, oh no, we have no intention of allowing modern secular leadership in Egypt. We won the election, and if you're going to throw out Morsi, then you're going to have to put in us. You're going to have to have another Islamic government to replace the one that you're throwing out. And this bodes very badly because Egypt has a strong secular community. Very powerful community in its own right, and that was nurtured during the Mubarak regime. And of course, yes, Mubarak was a dictator. He was corrupt. He was never elected to authority. He had taken over when the previous president was assassinated. And he had ran for the government for 30 years through bribery and commissions and kickbacks, and anybody who rose up in power, he bought them off.
Yes, he was corrupt. He was corrupt, Susan, but he was our corrupt guy. I mean,
he was a secular corrupt guy. That's the point.
Yeah, but we pay for all their military. We train their military. I mean, we are U.S., a.k.a. Egypt. I mean, seriously, with our involvement over there, between us and Israel, we basically own Egypt, don't we?
Well, that's the problem, is that we have thought that we owned Egypt, but we forget that Egypt has its own identity and its own fierce nationalism. And
yes,
the more that Egypt perceives us as meddling, the more they resent us. So anything the United States wants is now automatically questioned and...
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores are left to eat.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as bio-superfood. I've taken bio-superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you're one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM Sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Disdained, and they don't want anything to do with us, and yet they can't get away from us because we are paying for everything. We are the source of their military's wealth. So the military needs to has got to keep the cash coming in, and that's why Obama is afraid of calling it a coup, because he's, even though it is a coup, because U.S. law prohibits giving military aid to a military that's overtaken the government, but we're playing a very dangerous game, and it's I'm afraid that Egypt is the largest Arab country, the largest Islamic country in the world, and we are now looking at major counter-revolutionary forces in Libya, Egypt, and Tunisia, where the society is battling between the secularists, the modernity, the people who are educated, the people who tend to have the jobs. Now realize that The people who have the jobs are educated and they're more modern. The people who do not have the jobs are the ones who are not educated except in the madrasas. And they do not have jobs. They're very poor. So the poor are very jealous of the rich and they're tearing them down. But then you end up tearing down your entire society. And that's why governments like Hafez al-Assad and President former Saddam Hussein were Ba'athists and socialists, because they recognized that the societies they were ruling were so desperately poor and uneducated. And so they tried to distribute the oil wells in such a way that they would invest in social infrastructure, education, housing, to give the poorest people a shot. And they did raise up their societies. And the West hated them for it. Gaddafi mm-hmm. did the same thing. But there was a method to the madness, because otherwise the deepest poor people, the poorest people of those countries would tear down the community and they would rise up and pull the whole thing down. And that's what you're seeing right now. We are going into a crisis catastrophe.
Let me ask you this. When you say we are going into a crisis, a catastrophe
there. The whole world.
Okay, you're talking about it emanating from the Middle East being what? A World War III? What are we talking about here?
A region-wide war that will sweep through, it will mostly destroy their own society. It will be the modern versus the religious poor, and versus the religious poor. But in the course of destroying their own society, they will destroy our relations and our instruments that are functioning in those societies, and our source of oil. We are still highly dependent on the Middle East. And this is going to be a wildfire war, is what I predict. From the entire region is going to be engulfed in war, like you see in Syria.
All right. Are we talking about Israel attacking?
Yes.
Are we talking about U.S. attacking? What do you think is going to take place?
I think that it will start as a region-wide war, and Israel at some point will jump in. The other thing to understand is that Syria is a mega crisis, because it is right on the Golan. It has the Golan Heights right there, and are looking a realtor will tell you it's location, location, location. They want Syria for a reason, and it's not because they give a darn about Assad. Really, Assad has been pretty good to these guys. They have not been bad to him at all, but Assad has refused to attack Israel, and Assad is holding the line on secular stability. And so they recognize that the only shot they've ever got to take on Israel is to knock out Assad. And they look at him as the first step of a necessary strategy so that they can take on Israel. And then at that point, you do become World War III.
Well,
so I would say that probably for the next 24 months, next 2 years, we'll have a burbling region-wide war, and then in year three or year four, we'll have Israel drawn into it, and then the United States will go to protect Israel, and we'll see that this becomes a World War III scenario.
And you've got us attempting to try and make Assad look as bad as we possibly can. The man, I mean, Shepard Smith on Fox News says, the man who kills his own people. You're talking about a physician, first of all, an ophthalmologist, an eye doctor, who trained in Britain, who has the background of only wanting to help his people, who has said no GMOs, no genetically modified foods allowed in Syria, and we're supposed to believe that this guy who won't even let his people have GMOs wants to kill them? I mean, this is just...
Absolutely. It is completely false. We are Assad Jr. Is not the son is not the father. The father was a brutal, cruel, vicious man who was not afraid, who established his power base by murdering everyone, murdering his opposition and throwing them in jail. The son, Bashar Assad, opened up the prisons, let everybody out of prison. All these political dissidents were held under the father. They were not held under the son. They've been free for the past 15 years. He also opened up the internet, Bashar Assad did, so that there would be connectiveness to the greater world. And his wife is a former CNN journalist. So they're hugely, they're into open media and discussion and debate. And the only thing about him is that he is a secularist. And he will not allow radical Islam to, radical Islam is allowed to exist, but it's not allowed to tyrannize the other members of society. And that's a very important distinction. It exists. If you want to practice conservative Islam in your own home, that's fine, but you're not allowed to enforce it on your neighbors. And those are the people we are supporting who are not satisfied to practice it themselves, but who want to tyrannize everyone else. And it's like, why would we do this?
Mm-hmm. So the United States, what is their motivation in trying to make him look like the worst of the worst? What is the purpose of the United States? Is it that we want, I mean, just like every other country, we want our finger in there and we want to own it and we want their assets? What is the reason we're making this move, with our special forces in 2011, that we moved in special forces and created
this? Well,
here's
the thing. I think that Obama is very stupid. Sorry, people.
I don't believe that Obama runs this country. I believe the people behind Obama.
But here's the problem. Everyone sees that if the Islamists take control of Syria, they will launch war on Israel. They will do it. They've even said it. They're not even hiding it. This is stage one of a longer term fight. Therefore, the only way that the Israelis think that they will be safe is if the United States sends soldiers into Syria and actually barricades the Syrian insurgents from attacking Israel. And actually that U.S. soldiers are standing there with machine guns and tanks occupying the society to stop the radicals from taking the next step. In other words, they realize that they have made, I think that privately they realize they have made a terrible blunder. But they think that Assad is already gone, so therefore they have to be looking ahead. They're working five steps ahead from where they are right now.
Well, they have to
know the current state.
They have to know the support, though, that he has from his own people. They have to see that. That's not, you know, anyone can see that. Let me move back to Morsi, because I know Morsi was very obvious about the fact that 9/11 didn't happen the way that the prevailing government theory says that 9/11 happened. That was the first thing that I thought was a little bit out of place. But it appears that Morsi went very quietly. I mean, he did not, you know, he's not like Assad. There's not a major fight. I know the military was in support of Morsi leaving. So it was a military coup without a doubt.
Well, he's locked up under house arrest. So we don't know what he's doing. He could be screaming bloody murder, but all the top brass of the Muslim Brotherhood are now under arrest. And hundreds of thousands of Egyptians have taken to the streets this weekend to protest. And the newer part, to protest his imprisonment and overturning his government. But also, the second party, the newer party, has now refused to allow a secular leadership to take over from Morsi until the elections. they're playing this very savvy strategic game themselves. They are declaring that the people have already embraced Islam, Islamic government, and now they want their shot. If the first party's down, the second party wants its shot. And so they're now campaigning that they will keep the Islamic government policies in place, but return the government to the people. They're demagoguing, of course.
I think that Mohammed El-Baradei is going to play a huge role in this. Somehow, some way, he's going to get in there because he has been, you know, living in the West, supporting the West for so long.
Yeah, but that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Mohammed El-Baradei was involved in the weapons inspections in Iraq. Mm-hmm. He is the true puppet of the West. He will sacrifice any Islamic, any Arab principle, and all Arab sovereignty. So he is obviously the choice of Washington. But the very things that make him the choice of Washington are why the Arabs will never accept him at all. He and Amr Moussa, who Amr Moussa has been the head of the Arab League, and very powerful, but he is also perceived as a puppet of the West.
We got to go this break.
They won't tolerate him either.
We'll be back. 3-minute break, and then we'll be back with Susan Lindauer. And let's talk what happened in Libya. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we move on to the subject of Libya, with our guest today, Susan Lindauer, author of Extreme Prejudice. And by the way, tell the listeners where they can get Extreme Prejudice, would you please?
You can get Extreme Prejudice at Amazon and Kindle, and I hope you'll check it out. That's the story of the real story of the 9/11 warnings and the Iraqi peace option and my imprisonment on Carswell Air Force Base.
And I want to have you back on to talk about that. But before we move on to the subject of Libya, and we've only got about 3 or 4 minutes left, but into this next segment. But what is the implication for the superpowers? Do you think that Russia's going to get involved, China's going to get involved, and if
yes.
so, which side will they be on?
A lot of Americans don't know that China came to Washington, sent a delegation to Washington in November after the election, and China called in their debt from the United States. China said that they are afraid that the United States will meddle in the Middle East, in Syria, and some of these countries, and that China will force the United States to pay back their debts to Beijing if there's any threat of going to war. So if we have money for war, we have money to pay China, and China's like, okay, we're not going to let you do it. So China
is
already flexing its economic muscle. And
we have money for anything, though.
Well,
all we have to do is
$13 trillion.
Well, we have computer strokes. That's what we have for money. So we have all the money in the world, though. Let me move on to Libya, because what do you think Benghazi was all about, and why the secret keeping it secret this long?
What was Benghazi all about? Wow. I think that it was an orchestrated as a kidnapping to try to use leverage to free prisoners at Guantanamo and some of the other rendition prisoners. However, the problem was the Libyan government was hoping, but badly played it, because they were hoping the United States would send soldiers into Libya to protect and uphold the current regime. See, here's the problem. The United States has destabilized everybody, and the United States forced into power governments that have no legitimacy with the people at all. And so the governments are very afraid that their heads will end up on the chopping block, and now they're trying to pressure the United States to come in. So, and to send soldiers into these countries to protect them. And of course, Washington is that's the worst thing Washington could do. Washington is deeply afraid of getting immersed in these internal squabbles, but the squabbles are vicious and violent rebellions. And these are very dangerous people who are now running these governments. So we've thrown out everybody who is secular and modernist, and we've raised into power the Al-Qaeda folks. And it's a catastrophe. This is a real foreign policy disaster,
well,
and it
I
is
think...
in danger of drawing us into a World War III scenario, yes.
And I think one of the most important things that you have said here is that we have destabilized nearly every country. And as Marinka Peshman said, she was on the program saying that she feels that a lot of what happened in Benghazi was involved with gun running, because the gun sales that the United States makes is literally what keeps us afloat and them in chaos.
Yes. Yes. Very,
and that's
very
our,
astute.
That's our goal. That is our goal, to keep these other countries in chaos. And so, like, for instance, in the Gulf War, when we were going to attack Iraq, we went to everybody around them and said, you better get armed, because think something might happen. And more sales, more sales, more sales, illegal gun running. We're going to be back after this 1 minute, 10-second break. We've got a final segment with our guest today, Susan Lindauer. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. The truth, wherever you can find it. The Dow is up 102 points. Silver's up over $19, and gold is around 1233. We're talking to Susan Lindauer today, and the subject is what happened in these countries and where are we going? Because I'm telling you, it's not good. Like she says, we're headed for 2 years of chaos. Now, what does that mean to us personally here in this country? I mean, what kind of chaos might we expect as a result of what's happening in Egypt, Libya, et cetera, in the Middle East? Susan?
Well, you made a very important point, that the military-industrial complex, the Pentagon, is supplying the weapons that are being used in all these conflicts. But here we have the Pentagon contractors, the defense contractors, are at odds with the Pentagon and American soldiers and American foreign policy. And they are running ramshod over our own foreign policy interests. They are undercutting all of our best interests in their quest for profits. So Obama is they are the beast that is already devouring us in their greed, and we are. We cannot sustain this. We are already bankrupt. China has called in its debt. It said that it will, that if we move towards any wartime, any military incursions in any countries at this stage, China demands that we'll shut us down entirely and take back all of its money and essentially foreclose on us. Foreclose on the American economy, and that's going to hurt ordinary Americans. We're heading for a time of great economic instability. The economic instability, and we see that the Obama administration is already laying plans for the NDAA and seizing resources to run the government. There's already talk of seizing 401ks and pensions. So we've run our course. And they're afraid that the ordinary American people will rise up. I'm hearing that 47% of Americans are only have part-time jobs. 47% mm-hmm. have part-time jobs only.
Right, right. Unbelievable.
So, we're collapsing under our own weight, and it's a very frightening situation.
It's just a matter of time before it implodes, like you say, under its own weight. It has to. There is no doubt about it. And so the people that are getting ready, that are preparing, I think they're, they are the ones that are going to survive all of this. The food issue, the GMO issue, I mean, all of these things coming down at once. religious persecution, the Zimmerman trial. I mean, they could not get a race situation, play the race card. They're not playing the race card. They're playing the race deck. And they could not play it any better than they are with the Zimmerman trial. You know, I was asking the question earlier, why don't they have the Jared Loughner trial on TV or the Aurora shooter on TV? Oh, no. You want something like Jody Arias' trial, and you want something like the Zimmerman trial. They are creating the chaos in this country. Would you agree?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I think that we're heading to a situation where we could have like martial law, FEMA camps. I used to think that was conspiracy stuff too, and I don't think it anymore. The government is deeply afraid of the people.
And yes. And I think
the people are barely skating by.
Mm-hmm. And the more we resist, the more power we have. You know,
yeah,
the only winning move, we have a t-shirt at the Power Hour. The only winning move is not to play their game.
Oh, good.
We've got to remember that. We've got to keep that in the forefront of our minds because.
Oh, I want that.
All right.
The only winning move is not to play their game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will have Rosie send you a t-shirt because we want you to have a Power Hour t-shirt. The only winning move is not to play their game. And we've got to continue to play our game first. Susan Lindauer, we look forward to having you back again on the Power Hour, author of Extreme Justice, Extreme Prejudice. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You have a blessed day.
Everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.